But I love his church. And my, what a breath of fresh air. Good night. What a song service. I'd like to kidnap your song leader. Take him to New Guinea. Man, boy, that guy can play. What a blessing. Sometimes, folk, you can go to Isaiah chapter 43. That's where I'm going. And on page 815, if you don't know where Isaiah is, I have to tell that to our people in New Guinea because a lot of them don't know where the books are. But sometimes you wonder if it's given to mission, is it really worth it? Is it really work? And don't look at me. Look at the fruit that came out of New Guinea. Brother, I'm telling you, I got a couple of months ago, the pastor, I turned the church over, the 10th church, God's let us start 10 churches over in New Guinea. And the last church we turned over, I've pastored it for about 4 or 5 years, about 5 years, I guess. And we turned it over to a young man that I led to the Lord in high school. They let me go into the public school system and teach the Bible. It's called RI, Religious Instruction Class. And this young man got saved, and the RI class started coming to every service. His mom is like a spokeswoman in the Catholic Church, like a deaconess. She's an elder in the Catholic Church, and dad, everybody, whole family's Catholic and everything. This young high schooler would come to church, and every Wednesday put his hand up and say, pray for my lost family. And his mom had a little plastic statue of Mary, and she would bow down to that plastic statue and talk to Mary, that little plastic statue, every morning and night. And Jacob, the young high school student, got tired of that, and he took that little god of hers and took it out in the bush and threw it away. And she cussed him up and down the house line for, throwing away her god. And we just kept praying for old Josephine and just praying for her, praying for her. And after 3 or 4 months, one Sunday, man, here she comes, her and her husband coming in the church. And we didn't say nothing, just, hello, glad to meet you. But, I mean, we were doing flip-flops in our heart, you know. We were doing handstands, you know. But we were trying to be cool about it, you know. And good night, man. She came for about a month or two. And we just let, you know, didn't want to pick green fruit. We just let the Lord work in her heart and just that faith come up out here. And but after about a month or two, we asked them to come up to the house for popcorn after service. And we're all sitting in the living room. And her husband's sort of like a follower. You know, she's the big wig, you know. And I looked at old Josephine and I said, Josephine, don't you think it's time for you to be saved? And big old smile broke out. She said, yeah, I'm ready. And that husband said, I'll do what she does. And they both got saved that night. And I tell you, the last point of the message, I'll tell you about some troubles we had this last term. And this troublemaker looked at old Josephine and said, the only reason you're coming to church is to get something from the missionary. And Josephine, she's like a little banny rooster, you know. She'd ruffle them feathers up. I mean, she'd get right in your face, you know. And she said, let me tell you something. She said, I would be sad if Brother Dick died tonight because, like you said, he came over here and showed me how to be saved. That priest lied to me all my life. But she said, Brother Dick dies tonight, I'll be sad. But she said, I'm not coming to this church to serve Brother Dick or to get something from this white man. She said, I found the living God. My brother, I'm telling you, what a blessing. That ain't all of it. That church, little bush church, now they've got probably, we got 18 church members. We'll have 70, 80 on Sunday morning, you know, all these visitors, but we got probably 18 true members there, and they're tithing, and they're supporting their pastor for 50 kina a month, which is about 16 American dollars. These people got no money. They are bush people. They got maybe one or two changes of clothes. They'll wear one set all week and then Saturday go down to the creek and bathe and wear their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on Sunday. You know, it's all thrift store, hand-me-downs, that kind of stuff. And some of them might make $200 a year from the coffee, from the ones that have coffee. I'm telling you, they're dirt poor. I mean, good night, they're poor people. And they support that pastor for 16 bucks a month. And on their own, I preached the last 4 or 5 years. I said, hey, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Bro, I said, this is not just for the white man in America. I said, it's every man, woman, and child in the body of Christ. We have an obligation to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I said, you have a responsibility to go to China and Japan and Australia. And they said, Brother Dick, we're just bush mission. We're just bush people. And I said, God told you to go, didn't he? And so they got a hold of that. And on their own, I've been in the state since December. I got a letter from Pastor Jacob last month. And he said, our church has voted and we're going to support. He said, we have been taking up a mission offering above our tithe. We've been taking up a mission offering and we're going to support Jessica and BJ to go to Kenya, Africa. They're going to be our first missionary. And he said, listen, we don't understand how to send you the Kenya money and you convert it to American money. The money's in the bank account, in the mission account. And when you get back, we'll give you the mission money out of it. But he said, from November to April, we've collected 113 Kenya for these people. And they said, you just give it to them out of your money and we'll refund you when you get back to New Guinea. But they said, we don't want to wait until you get back over here. The rapture might hit and we go to heaven and not obey God. She said, God told us to go, and so we can't go, but we're going to send Jessica and BJ as our first missionary. So we want to look at God in the face and say, we obeyed God. You say missions don't work, brother. It works, man. I'm telling you, it works, man. That is fruit. I'm telling you, that is fruit. During the election times, the candidates will come back and give out, pass out bribe money and all, and they'll leave the church and drop a hat. They'll give 10,000 kina to a volleyball tournament or a rugby tournament or something, and all the men leave the church because they, after that almighty money, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. And some of our folks stayed faithful during coffee season. There's nothing to see a 50 kina note in that offer plate. I mean, Bush Church giving $50, you know, to offering, you know, like that. They tithed off their coffee. They stayed faithful. And God bless. I hope God just opens the windows of heaven, just pours out a honey bucket on that little church, because there, I preached the pastor's conference. We got like 60, 70, 80 churches back there in the bush since 1985. And once in a while, Dennis Wells has a big tent and we set up and have pastor meeting where the pastors and song leaders and deacons and their wives, they all come and we preach the devil out of them. And they wanted me to preach on missions. So I went over there and preached on tithing and giving money to missions and all. And I asked all the pastors, probably 50, 60 pastors in that tent. And I said, everybody close their eyes and down their head, don't look around. I said, if you tithe, raise your hand. There was two or three of them in that whole tent that raised their hand. And so for this church to tithe and to support their pastor, and then on top of that to give to Jessica and BJ to go to Kenya, that's phenomenal over there. I mean, some of those churches have been going since Brother Ted Mullins went over there and broke the bush in 1985. Some of them churches have been 21 years. They've been going. They still don't tithe. And this little church is doing, we're going to obey God. We're going to obey God. And you're part of that. I'm telling you now, see, you sent me over to New Guinea, and I won Jacob and Josephine and Michael and Gesson. I won those people over there, and now they're getting in, and they're going to send Jessica and BJ to Kenya, Africa. And Jesse and BJ, they're going to go over and save some of those folks over in Kenya. And brother, that's fruit to that little church over there, but it's also fruit to your church. When we get to heaven, you're going to reap the bennies from Kenya. You're going to reap the bennies from Papua New Guinea. Amen.
Amen.
That's what it's all about, man. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He told Adam that. He told Noah, we're supposed to reproduce babies. We're supposed to reproduce other Christians. And that's what it's all about. And you can't do that here in Blackstone. I mean, God said, go out in all the world. And so that's what you do. You support these missionaries, and they go out, and they reproduce other Christians, and then they save and disciple and train and start a Bible school and train a man. He takes over that work, and then they start preaching to their own people. I've got a Bible school over there with national pastors teaching Bible, national Bible students. They're reproducing other preachers over there because you sent this fool over there in 1990. Amen? Well, I'm telling you, it's a blessing. It ain't nothing better in this world than to be a missionary, to go into a country where people are sitting in darkness and preach that word of God. I mean, 90, you preach it 100 times, it just goes right over their head, you know. They don't get it, you know. They've been generations and generations and generations of Catholic, you know, baby baptized and all that stuff. And man, one day the lights come on and, whoa, now I said, man, I'm telling you, it puts chills on your, it ain't nothing better in this world. And then you preach, and that young man got saved in high school, and I just preached, and that fella, he's read his Bible. I gave him my King James Bible before I left. About a year before I left, he wrote me a letter. He said, brother, I'm on my ninth run through my Bible. Read that Bible from cover to cover 8 times. This is a bush man from Genesis to Revelation, read that word of God 8 times. He said, I'm reading 20, 25 chapters a day. He said, I'm reading. My, what a blessing. That old boy, I gave him my Strong's Concordance, and I'm telling you, he studies, he gets on, and his sermons are just loaded with Old Testament verses, man. He's just giving those people, feeding those sheep, man. Just, and that's one of the strongest churches that we've ever had over there in Papua New Guinea. What a blessing to be a missionary, I'm telling you. But to train that man and then to let him turn over that work to that man, this last church, I never, it's hard to turn over a work because you don't know what this joker's going to do. You know, I know what I'm going to do, but what is he going to do? But I had no qualms at all turning it over to Jacob. He's one of the best that we've ever had over there. And that old boy, man, he's just living for God and serving God. And those people love him. And man, I'm telling you, they're doing a job. They're supporting a missionary, man. I'm telling you. Y'all say that's nothing. Well, go to New Guinea. Go to New Guinea and watch that. Family pass a spoon around. The daddy eats with the spoon, then the mama eats, and they're so poor they only got one spoon. A lot of them, they don't even use a spoon. I mean, just like, I'm telling you, they are poor as church mice, and they're doing right. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43. I thank God for you, the church. I love this church, man. I had a good time with your pastor today. Boy, it was a blessing, I'm telling you. Such a blessing. Just a fellowship, man, just a fellowship. Here, Isaiah 43. Now, this is 7 o'clock. Y'all, what time y'all quit?
3:30.
Good night, man. Y'all, I just looked at that clock. I was like, good night, man. Y'all sang for an hour. This is God the Father talking to Israel, but it's going to fit. Now, I believe in the dispensations and all that, but don't put God in a shoebox. He can step over those dispensational line any old time he wants to. You know, man, he wrote this Bible. All right. So look out about cutting that Bible. Brother, there are a lot of blessings in the book of Psalms. Yes. Amen. The book of Proverbs. I mean, you can learn some character and integrity in the book of Proverbs. All right. I know that this is God the Father talking to the nation of Israel, but it'll fit the Christian. All right. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Now, if you're a child of God, if you've been born again, you have been redeemed. Redemption means to buy back lost property. And if you know where you were, where God found you, brother, you and I were certainly lost as a goose in a snowstorm. And God brought you back. He bought back lost property. He said, I have called thee by my name, thy name. If you are called a Christian, the root word of Christian is Christ. So we, like a sandwich board, we carry the name of Christ, all right? And then this Almighty God, this creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the everlasting Father, the ones that the angel bows down to, he says, thou art mine.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You're a child of God. Amen. He said, God Almighty says, you're mine. You're mine. Amen. Now look at the promise. There's going to be troubles in life. We are living in the septic tank of the universe. Brother, Christians today are married up to the world. God says the world is your enemy. He says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. You're either serving God, you're serving the devil. All right. This world is your enemy. And you used to be a child of the devil and you went AWOL and you joined another army. Now you're a child of God. Satan hates your guts. He hates your family. He hates this preacher and his family. He hates this church. Brother, the devil hates that song service that y'all sang tonight. And he's going to send his Goliath. He's not going to send a little imp after here to try to brush you off. He's going to send the best he can to wreck you and kill you and destroy. He's the idol shepherd in John 10. He comes to seek and destroy and to kill. He hates your guts. And so you're going to have trouble. Man is born in trouble as the sparks fly upwards, man. You just stick a stick in a fire and those sparks, you're going to have them. You're going to have them. But there's a promise in verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, you will pass through the waters. I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Oh, they'll come right up here to your nostrils. Oh, Lord, I can't take it no more, God. But he says there's a promise. They will not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. Thy Savior I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I've loved thee, everlasting love. And Jeremiah says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Now this is a second coming context, verse 5, 6. Fear not, for I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. He brought them back from Assyria. He brought them back from Babylon, but they're scattered all over the world now. He's bringing them back, all right? All right. He says, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Now, verse 7, and everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Let's pray. Father God, I appreciate you. I love you. I pray that you'd anoint this message, Lord. Feed your sheep, Lord, please, God. These are your people, and I appreciate, Lord, this has been a long day. I know one brother here, he's drove an hour and a half and spent all day and been hot, and a little baby today was irritable, a little young girl was irritable. She's wore out, didn't get home till 1 or 2 o'clock this morning, and yet came to church all day, Lord God. These people come, Lord, they're not just showing up just to, you know, wave their tail feathers or nothing, Lord. They're trying to do right, and so, Lord, please, I pray that you would please use me to help them, Lord. Encourage them. God, wash us in the blood. Fill us, anoint us for the work that you have me to do tonight. And Lord God, please get on it. Lord, please let this be a good one for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother, we are in this thing for God's name's sake. We're doing it for God's glory. And living in America is so easy to get sidetracked. I told my pastor, I said, you need to start preaching hard on sin. I said, I'm full of the devil. I said, I come home and I backslid. I mean, good night. We're back there on the backside of that mountain and there's no temptation. Well, there's some temptation. But there's nothing like y'all have over here in America. There's so many things and entertainments and restaurants and Walmart and all of these things. And man, I can't read my Bible. You get up in the morning, you try to concentrate and read your Bible and your mind's running overtime. Well, I got to do this and this and this and I got to go this and that. And you're just consumed with things and it steals your heart. I'm telling you, man, it's so easy to backslide in America, man. I'm telling you, so easy. I told my preacher, preach the devil out of me, man. The harder, the better. I need it, man, because I'm wicked as hell. Amen. I've read this Bible now. I'm on my 96th run. I try to read 30, 35, 40 chapters a day, and sometimes I don't always get that way. But, brother, I'm reading this Bible, and every time I go through this Bible, I'm finding more and more verses about this issue, about God is a jealous God. Thou have no other gods before me. Thou shalt glorify me. I'll put a hickey on your head if you worship another God, that kind of stuff. Brother, I'm looking at this all over the Bible. I read a few Exodus chapter 7, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 10 says, and he said, tomorrow, and he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Verse 22 said, and I was sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there to the end. Thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of thee. Chapter 9, verse 14 says, And for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thy heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. When Joshua went into that promised ground and they came, well, he sent the two spies over to spy out Jericho. Rahab said, and as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. It's all through that Bible, brother. It's all through that Bible. Now, I think the central theme is the kingdom and Jesus Christ being Lord of lords and King of kings. And everybody's going to bow their knee to him. But there is a lot of verses in this Bible about we're supposed to give God honor and glory and praise and big name. The Bible says whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible says that in all things he might have the preeminence. The Bible says that we are created for God's pleasure. We ought to live a life now in this flesh, in this septic tank, in this wicked world, a way that would bring a smile to our Lord and Savior's feet. Brother, feet. His face, I mean, bring a smile to his face, you know. Brother, we're in this. This is about his name, his word, his honor's at stake. People for 6,000 years have been worshiping the gods like Belshazzar, the gods of gold. Entertainment, good night. America's so obsessed with entertainment, you know. They got, you know, 150 channels on this thing, you know. You can't decide what channel to... I sit in a motel and just scan that thing, just bam, 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 bam. I can't decide, you know. There's four or five good possible. I can't find God wasn't, you know, that I'd say, oh, you know, in the old days you had the rabbit ears, you'd get a choice of two or three, and you know, that's it, you know. But we're so spoiled. And this land, the land of eating, my soul, most Christians got this Dunlap disease, you know, it's Dunlapped over the belt, you know. And there is a restaurant on every single corner, man, and it's fast food, fast pace, fast go. I mean, you don't have time to go home and sit at the table with your family because mom's out here, dad's out here, kids are running to and fro. I'm telling you, man, I mean, we're just running, running like a rat race. Don't have time to sit down at a table and eat a home meal. So you pull into Burger King and get a quick fix, you know, like that. And it's all for the love of money. It's all this love of money because the pharmaceutical companies, they're pumping all their pill. Every commercial, man, is about a pill. If you got this, pop this pill. If you got that, pop this pill, you know, like that. And the doctors are in cahoots because the pharmaceuticals give a kickback to the doctor if he'll use their medicine and write a prescription. Man, I'm telling you, I went to a chemist and I ordered a prescription that the doctor gave me, 10 or 12 pills, $135. And the first question they ask you is, do you have insurance or not? I say, why do you ask? Everybody asks. Doctor's office, a pharmacy, you all ask, do I have insurance or not? And she said, well, we charge one price for the insurance company. We charge one price for people who pay out of pocket. I said, isn't that a little deceitful? She said, we're here to make money. She said, we get more money from the insurance. I said, isn't that why the insurance rates and everything is so sky high? She said, that's what it is. I mean, they've just, it's a vicious cycle from the hospital to the pharmaceuticals to the doctors, man. It's all a love of money. It's the root of all evil. That's what's going on here, brother. This is not about making money. It's not about your portfolio. It's not about the NCAA. I was getting, when I get to preaching, I get to going. Man, I preached this message in one place, and man, I was just a running, you know. And I said, it's not about the NAACP. And everybody started laughing, you know, what I say, you know. Well, it's not about the NAACP, amen. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're down here to live for God. Now, we're having a good time. The song service was wonderful in this church. That was a blessing, brother, to sit in your song service. And it's easy. We come in here in these four walls. We're worshiping God. You know, we're lifting up in God. We're lifting up God in name and spirit. God, we're glorifying you. We're pumping you. We're lifting you up. But what are you doing tonight at 10 o'clock at your house? What about tomorrow down there at the job? Do you glorify God down there at the job? I mean, this is all about worshiping God, brother, in our body, in our spirit. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Him in body and spirit. Brother, God wants us to worship God in this old stinking flesh, in this wicked world. God wants us to worship God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're sitting in church or out of church, down at the job, at Burger King, at Walmart, God wants you to worship God. This is all about worshiping God.
Amen.
1 Kings chapter 18, you know the story of Elijah, you know, up there at Mount Carmel. He said, now listen, fellas, how long halt you between two opinions? If God is God, let's get in this thing and serve God. And if Baal is God, let's get in here and serve Baal. And since you've got 850 fellas, y'all go first. And will you call upon your God? I'll call upon my God. And whichever God answers, we'll serve Him. We'll get in this thing. How long halt you between two opinions? Quit riding the fence and serve one or the other. And so they get in from morning till lunchtime. Old Baal hears, old Baal hears, but he's a false God. He's not going to answer. And you know, they're cutting themselves in penance and flopping over on the altar and everything. And about the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah rebuilds the altar and he gets 12 barrels of water and he wets down the firewood there. I mean, it hadn't rained in 3.5 years, so he's putting his neck in the noose. He's putting the Lord's neck in the noose. If the Lord don't answer, they're both in trouble for wasting all that water. And he makes a little simple prayer and the fire falls. And what do the people say? The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. It's all through this Bible. It's all through. In Daniel chapter 3, you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know. Old King Nebo, he makes this old golden image. He said, when you fear the sound of the music, everybody fall down and worship this image that I've built. And you know the story, old three boys going to stand tall and say, we ain't serving your God. We ain't serving God. I mean, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. I mean, we're looking at that fire and we don't enjoy pain like anybody else, but God, brother, we're going to serve the living God. And so he helps stokes up that old fire and he gets these strong soldiers and throws them in there. And when he threw them in there, he looked at them and he told those boys, he said, and who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? I believe the Lord's got a sense of humor. And he's up there in heaven. Michael and Gabriel's up there listening to old King Nebuchadnezzar's big mouth. He's up there. He said, I can deliver him. I can deliver him. Amen. Amen, brother. That's what it's all about. And you know the story. And we threw three boys in, and I see four, and one's like the Son of God. I mean, and he makes a decree to worship Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. It's just all about that. 1 Kings chapter 20, the Syrians, they bring 32 armies and besiege Samaria. Nobody goes out. Nobody comes in. And man, they're eating dove's dung and donkey's head and boiling and eating their own children. In 2 Kings 6, and man, they come in there in 1 Kings chapter 20, and they besiege this a city, and man, they're getting down to just a few donkeys or horses left, and they brought 32 kings with them, and I assume they brought 32 armies with them, and Israel goes out with 232 princes and 7,000 soldiers, you know, just a few men, and they go out, and they whip the devil out of those 32 armies. And Syrian, you know, puts her tail between the legs, you know, and goes back to Syria, you know, licking their wounds, you know. And the people, those Syrians said, listen, let's get rid of these politicians, these kings. They're just a bunch of drunks, you know. They sit on a pavilion getting drunk all day. Let's replace these kings with some warriors, the fellows that can fight. And said, we'll come back next year and we'll fight Israel in the valley because their God is the God of the hills. And we'll fight them in the valley. And because their God is the God of the hill, we'll whoop them down there in the valley. God's up there saying, God of the valley here, God of the hills. All right, pack a lunch and bring a friend. I'll show you.
Amen. Amen.
And they come back and they fight them in the valley. Those few soldiers go out. They whip the snot out of them again. And what did the people say? Their Lord is the God of the hills and he's the God of the valley. Brother, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to do in this life before the rapture, before we die, is to show these people that, hey, our God is better than your God. That's what we're trying to do. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? When I follow the Lord, when I submit to the Lord, when I obey the Holy Spirit, when I do what He tells me to do, He gets honor for that. He gets honor for that. When I allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide me and to lead me and to point the way, He gets honor. I mean, you say, God, I don't know what to do, man. I've tried this and this, nothing worked. And Lord God, I need your help. He said, that's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for. When we allow the Lord to be the Lord of our lives and take charge and we surrender, that's the problem with Christians. There's no surrender today. Oh, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You're a child of God. But you got such a rebellious, independent spirit. Bless God. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do. Brother, the Holy Spirit, you grieve and quench the Holy Spirit of God. And you're like, you're just wandering. I'm reading in one of the places I'm reading is in Exodus. And you know, the 10 plagues down there in Egypt and the Red Sea and Marah, where the water was bitter, and then the 70 palm trees at Elam and Sinai, where they saw the lightnings and thunders and the fire and everything. They saw the power of God. That was to teach Israel discipline and obedience. And yet they sent those 12 men into Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and they came back and they said, man, it's a good land. Look at these, what was it, grapes they brought back, the grapes of Eshcol. They said, look at these grapes that we brought back, man, the cities are high and walls and built up and iron bars and fit on the windows and doors. And the men, the children of Anakin's are there, the giants are there in the land. Let's mark a captain and go back to Egypt. I remember the leeks and the melons and the garlic. It's more better to be a slave to Pharaoh than to bring us out into this bush place where this thing. And God looked at that rebellion and said, fellas, you're going to wander for 38, 39 more years. Until you're all dead and your children that'll go in that promised land. Brother, that's what they did. That was not the will of God to stay in that wilderness for 40 years. It was God's will to lead them into that ground that He promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was God's will, and He was leading them. He delivered them out of the house of bondage, out of that iron furnace, Egypt. He brought them through that Red Sea. He provided for them in that wilderness, and because of their rebellion, God allowed them to wander for 38, 39 years. There are a lot of Christians living today. They're saved children of God, and all you're doing is wandering. You're just wandering. You're out of the will of God. You've got that independent spirit. And you're just doing, well, bless God, I'm going here. You didn't even ask God, is it all right to go? bless God, I'm moving, you know, I get me a... Where's a good church down there? Have you even considered God? Is God even in your thoughts? It's that independent spirit, and you're just wandering. You're out of the will of God. You've lost the touch of God. You don't have the anointing. You don't have the power. You don't have the blessings of God. And then your children go rebellious. They're just following mucky see, mucky do. They're following you. Amen. That's all that is, brother. That's nothing but rebellion. And you were wandering, brother. You're wandering. Saul, you know the story of Saul. God was with Saul. He said, man, as long as you do right, as long as you obey me, I'll bless you. And man, you'll sit on the throne. And you know the story. He saved some of the Amalekites. You know, he didn't kill them all. You know, Agag, he spared and all. And God, he removed him. He removed his anointing. He took his hand off of him. He took the blessings off of Saul. Saul was still a king for 38 years.
Yeah.
He was still a king. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven. You're still in church. You're still reading your Bible. But you ain't got God.
Amen, brother. That's good.
You ain't got God. You're wandering. And it's because of that heart. I see it all over the country. It's all over the country. I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart, but if you're wandering, you're not in the will of God. This is not the will of God for you to wander in the wilderness. God's blessing is the land of milk and honey over there in the promised ground. God is your heavenly Father. He's the creator of the universe, and he can very well provide for you and supply all your needs, but he's not going to support sin, brother. He's not going to support that independent spirit. When I submit to him, when I let him guide me, Solomon said, God, I'm just a kid. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. Who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And God said, I can help you. Yeah. Amen. That's what we need. Submission. Surrender. Surrender. But we're too proud. God says in Isaiah, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Brother, God's got a purpose for you. God's got, you young people, God's got a purpose for you. I wish to God God would have saved me when I was a young person. I was 28 years old. I'm 55 years old today. It's my birthday. And brother, over there they got mountains and hills, 70 degree incline. And I walk 20 yards and sit down and huff and puff and climb 20 yards and sit. I said, I can't do it. I remember growing up in Southeast Alabama, throwing that rifle on my shoulder, walking all day and never even huffing and puffing. And y'all know this, they got a program on the computer called Classmates. And you punch in your year you graduated, your city, your state, your name of your high school and all. And whoever's got on that program, their names pop up. Well, a missionary over in New Guinea was on the internet, and he did that to me. And six or seven names of people I graduated high school from popped up on there. Well, my name went on there, too. About 2 days later, I get an email from this girl I went to high school with. I mean, I graduated in 1969, you know, a long time ago. And she said, where are you, man? We've been looking for you. You fell off the end of the earth, you know, 20, 30, 35, what do you call them, class reunion, you know. And so I wrote her an email back, said, I'm a missionary in New Guinea. God saved me, and I'm over in New Guinea. I'm a missionary. And she wrote me back. She said, well, I was saved in high school. I went to the Baptist church in high school. I wrote her back. She said, why didn't you witness to me? She never wrote me back. I offended the brethren. I got it. They got offended at that. Brother, I shot myself when I was 19 years old. I put a .30-30 rifle to my belly and pulled the trigger. It blew my kidney in half. I got to the hospital, 70 over zero in my blood pressure. 3.5 months in the hospital. I've got one kidney now. By the grace of God, this thing's been working since, 1971? All right. This thing, brother, it's just the grace of God. I mean, I got involved in drugs. I mean, got smoking that dope. I drinking beer like water, shacking up, just old stinking whoremonger. Brother, I could have avoided, got involved in rock and roll and the concert. If that gal had a witness to me when I was in high school, I could have surrendered my life when I was a young person, and I could have gone over to New Guinea with a 20, 25-year-old body, and what all I could have done. Look what I could have done with a young body. You young people, you do not have to wait until you're an old man to start serving God. You ain't got to do that, brother. You ain't got to do that. Let me read you something. I got a message on young people here. And let me see if I can find this thing real quick here. David was just a teenager when he fought Goliath. Solomon, he became a child. He was a small child. He was a young boy when he became king. He said that God made me a king in 1 Kings 3:7. God made me a king, and I am but a child. Samuel was just a little child because his mom made him a little coat every year. Joash was 7 years old. Manasseh was 12 years old. Josiah was 8 years old when he started serving God. Brother, you don't have to wait until you're an adult to serve God. I mean, wouldn't have God that girl would have witnessed to me and I'd have gotten saved at a young age. Amen. But that's it, brother. We are in this thing to give glory and honor and praise and big name to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at these. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You need to understand that. You got all these Pharisees out there, you know, doing, you know, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't run with those that do, you know. And all that, it's all it is a peacock religion, you know. They're doing this, you know, waving them tail feathers, you know, say, look at me, you know. That's all it is, peacock, look at me, pride. Just a Pharisee, you know. I fast twice a week, you know, I give tithes. That ain't nothing but Phariseeism, brother. God saved you. God called you into a life of holiness, not so that you could be a holier-than-thou type of person and get up here and toot your horn. God saved you into a life of holiness. So for His name's sake, for His name's sake, He leadeth us in the paths of righteousness. For His name's sake, we don't do good works to get saved or to stay saved. We do good works because we are saved. We are saved. He told Job, you got this thing going on up there. The devil's up there as the accuser of the brethren. And God says, hast thou considered my servant Job a perfect and upright, none like him in the earth that feareth God? And he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a call. And God's up there saying, you know, that's my boy down there. I saved him. I blessed him. I blessed his family. And he'll stay by the stuff. He won't bail out. He won't throw in the towel. That's my boy. And the devil said, you let me at him. He'll curse you to your face. He'll drop you in a heartbeat. He'll choose volleyball. He'll choose a rugby game before he'll come to church and worship you. You just let me. I'm not that boy. He's my boy. He'll stay with it. And that's what's going on up there in the throne room. My first term over there in Papua New Guinea, we went down into a river gorge. I mean, this thing is straight down. And you sit on your rear and you sort of slide down, and it takes 2 hours, and across this river was just a vine bridge. They had 2 or 3 strands of vine on the bottom, and one here and one here, and you walk like this on the vine, and this thing's doing this, and the water's running. I mean, it's rapids under you. I mean, man alive, it's scary to cross this thing. And it rains 280 inches over there, so the vine gets wet and dry, and it dry rots, you know, and you're halfway across this thing, and ping, you know, one of those ropes break, you know. Man, like that. And then you climb up out of that hole and you're pulling yourself up with roots and branches and tree. You're pulling yourself up, you know, and the mud is slippery as this stuff come out of your nose. And then you walk 2 more hours to this village, just 5 hours over to this village. And we started a church over there. And I told my Bible students, I said, look, we're going to be democratic about this, you know. And I'll go first, you know, because I'm the leader here. I'll go first. But next week you're going, and then you're going, and you're going. We're going to take turns on this. You ain't going to run me down the ground, you know, y'all. We're all going to take a turn on this. They said, let's do it for the glory of God. Let's get in this thing. And they didn't go. Too hard. Too far. And so, man, that church fizzled. And there was a white-skinned priest over there from America. He stood up in that house line, and he said, I told you the Baptists wouldn't last back here. When I get discouraged and full of the devil, and I'm ready to quit on God, I think of that wicked snake standing up there in that house line. I think of that wicked snake in my Lord's face saying, he'll deny you, he'll curse you. And brother, that helps me get down the road. Yeah. That's why I'm doing good works. That's why I try to do good right and stay right with God. It's not so that, 10 churches, bless God, look at me. It ain't got nothing to do with me, brother. Yeah. It's because I'm trying to do it because God's been so good to my family and I want to do it. I choose to do it. I choose to live right. So for my Lord's sake, look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. You're going to have to choose and you're going to have to refuse some things in this life, brother, if you're going to win your race. I mean, Christians are dropping like flies. I guarantee you, some of you in here tonight will not be in here when I come back in 4 years. Because you just, well, bless God, I'm going to do what I want to do. Bless God, when I want to do it, and Boy, bless God, I deserve a break today. You deserve to be in hell with your back broke. It's just the grace of God that we're here. I'm telling you, it's just the grace of God that we're still in the fight. And I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Do you realize that Pharaoh was a one-world ruler during that time? And Moses was the adopted son of his daughter. Whatever, what that makes him to Pharaoh, adopted son-in-law. He could go into that throne room and say, Daddy, I need $1 million. And Pharaoh, here you are. Have at it. And he turned his back. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, I would rather go out here to this old bush place and live with these bunch of slaves than to be called Pharaoh's son. If you're going to win your race, if you're going to fight a good fight in this life, I'm talking about 2006 tonight, you're going to have to refuse and choose some things in this life.
Amen.
Gypsy Smith, Amen. Gypsy Smith said any dead fish can float down the stream. But it takes a living fish to float upstream against the flow. There's a lot of dead fish in the Baptist churches. And you're just going with the flow. You're just going with the flow. Why don't you be a live fish for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you swim against the current? I mean, the whole world just goes to hell. Bless God, me and my family, we're going to do right. We're just going to do right. And we're not doing it so we can be a peacock. We're doing it because God's been so good to us. Amen. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to refuse. Jessica and BJ out there in Bible College in Oklahoma, they got into a friendship, and that developed into a courtship. And they told the faculty, they told one another, they said, we ain't touching until we take our vows. This is 2006 now, okay, where it's okay for a 12, 13-year-old to get pregnant. All right, we're living in a wicked time right now. And Jessica and BJ, I didn't tell them to do this. They did this on their own. And they said, the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman.
That's right.
And it's good for a woman not to touch a man. Amen? That's Bible, brother. That's the Word of God. You say, I'm a Bible believer. Why don't you start practicing the Bible? Amen. And they told us, they said, we're not touching until we get married. And the faculty out there gave them fits because they have a Valentine banquet and a Christmas banquet, you know, where they escort the lady, you know, they have formal. And they said, we ain't doing that. And even at the graduation, you know, the cap and gown, the men were down here, the men singers in the choir were down here. And when Jessica was called up, you know, they escort them up the steps, you know, and then down the steps after. And they didn't touch. They said, we're going to obey God. And the faculty, some of the faculty members, it's a good school. I recommend it, man. It's a good school out there. And the faculty said, you got to do it. This is, you know, the man's got to escort the woman. And BJ and Jess said, we ain't touching. We're going to obey the Bible. They said, what if Jessica falls? I said, well, I guess we just trust God to send a couple of angels left and right side to hold. And if she does fall, well, bless God, she'll get up.
Yeah.
Brother, you talk about a blessing. July the 1st, I walked that young lady down the aisle. I'm the only man in 25.
Amen, brother.
I'm the
Hallelujah.
Only, you listen to this. I'm the only man in 25 years that ever kissed that girl.
Amen.
She walked down that aisle. She was a holy, chaste virgin. And she walked down that aisle. And they, brother, it was such a blessing. It was so clean. And it was holy. I'm not telling that just because my daughter. But it was holy. It was a holy matrimony. And they gave their vows before God and before that congregation. And so the first time in their lives, they touched, grabbed each other's hands and looked at one another in their eyes. And that first kiss was a brother, it was special. It was a holy kiss. It was a holy kiss. Can you say that about your kids? I don't mean to put a damper on the church, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of dead fish. There's a lot of dead fish. Why don't you just say, bless God, sink, swim, live or die. We're going to obey God. We're going to do right. I don't care. Brother, there's so many. I'm telling you, we go all over the country. I only go to my supporting churches. This year on furlough, there's been two of my supporting pastors resign. I mean, every church has got held by the acre and problems going on in the church. I'm telling you, we are being attacked. Full time, the church of God is being attacked. And brother, where are the Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednego? Where are the Daniels? Where are the Daniel purposed in his heart? Brother, why don't you daddies just purpose in your heart and say, we're going to do right. listen here. Joanna, I mean, she'd come out of the bedroom, you know, and the split was a little high or the sweater was a little tight. I'd say, turn around. Turn around. Go change. You know, Daddy, everybody's doing it. You ain't going to do it.
Amen, Daddy.
And she didn't. She's married to a pastor, and Jessica, my other daughter's going to the mission field. It ain't me. It's just the goodness of God and the Holy Spirit of God. God looks at the heart. God looks at this old wicked heart of ours. And He sees a want to, a desire, a willingness. Do you have that? If you don't, bro, you need to excel. You need to get right with God. God can use you and your family. He's up there. Brother, He's not this angry God that's wicked, you know, angry with the wicked every day. He's not up there wanting to squash you like a cockroach. He wants to bless you and your family. He wants to take care of you, provide for you, be your father up there. He wants to do that, brother. He wants more than everything to bless you and look after and provide for you. But we grieve Him all the time. I refuse to watch certain things on the television. I refuse to dress a certain way like the world dresses. You know, I come home last furlough, a furlough before last, and all these kids got the ball cap on backwards, you know. I never seen that before, you know. I come off the boat, you know. I said, why you got your ball cap on backwards? Said, oh, just a fan. I said, well, won't you be like a Christian and turn that sucker around and be different? I mean, just be different than the world. Amen. We look like the world. We smell like the world. We talk like the world. Why don't we talk like the Bible? Well, we get the Word of God. Tomorrow morning, why don't you get up and open your Bible and read your Bible and pray instead of turning on the TV? Amen. Let's get on with this. Amen. Let's get on. Psalm 79. Psalm 79. It's easy to preach in your church. Man. I preach this message in some other church, man. They freeze up and blow up like an old blowfish. I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you, you ought to come up here tonight and hug your pastor's neck. I'm telling you, I'm honest before you. I'm not just buttering him up. I'm honest before God. There is not a whole lot of churches like you got. There ain't a whole lot of churches like what you got here. Y'all got something special here. I'm honest with you. I'm going to my supporting church. I'm telling you, they're getting worldly. They're getting contemporary. They're laying down their standards. They're getting more and more leaven in them, brother. I'm telling you, a little leaven, it will leaven up the whole lot, brother. I'm telling you, look out, man, look out. Psalms chapter 79. Verse 9, he says, help us, O God, of our salvation for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Do you realize that God saved our soul? Not because we were somebody. I mean, God's up there saying, whoa, man, this guy got baptized. He's taking communion, man. He ain't never robbed a bank. He ain't never whored around, you know. I guess I need to come down on the cross for that sucker. God didn't save us for our good works. God saved us for His name's sake. He purged and took away our sins for His name's sake. When I get to heaven, I mean, old dope smoker and old whoremonger. I wasn't looking for God when God saved me. I was 28 years old. I wasn't looking for God. I had me a good-looking woman, man. I was shacking up with her. She'd come to my house one night. I'd go to her house. I'm not trying to glorify sin. We had dope in our pockets, man. We were smoking that dope, going to parties, listening to that old rock and roll stuff. Man, I was having a good time. I wasn't looking for God, and God Almighty left the 99 and come found this stinking snake and put me on His shoulders and brought me back into the fold. Brother, it was God, man. It was God Almighty that saved my soul. And you think I'm idiot nut to get to heaven and say, look at my feathers, man. I got baptized. I got this. I got that. Hey, brother, let me read you something in Genesis chapter 11. He purged our sins for His name's sake. This old Tower of Babel line. And they said, go to verse 4. Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Let us make us a name. This ain't about us making us a name. It's about us giving big name to the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't about Gary Payne. It ain't about Solid Rock Baptist Church. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, Cain, look at here, God, I dug this garden, I rooted out those roots, I planted these potatoes, I went to the hardware store, I sprayed my plants twice a week with fungus medicine, look what I done! He said, I ain't interested in what you did, Mucky. This ain't about us, brother, it's about God. It's about God, and you and I need to get refocused on why are we down here doing the things we're doing. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Psalm 143. Psalm 143, verse 11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Now, this is a hard one. We don't like this one because we like that camp meeting. I mean, y'all shouting it out at the camp meeting. We like it when we got some money in our pocket and none of our kids are sick, you know, and we got a job and a paycheck's coming in. You know, we like that mountaintop, brother. But God says here in that verse, He says, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, and for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. For his name's sake, he will bring you out of trouble. So, brother, I'm telling you, this is a doctrine in the Bible, but God will put you in that river, and he'll let that water come up here almost where you're drowning, and he'll put you in that fire, and he'll turn that heat up, brother, and he'll allow you to go into troubles, and it's not because he wants to squash you. It's not because he's a, ha, 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 man, I skin him alive, you know. He's not that kind of a God. He loves us. He died for our sins. He left heaven in the glory of heaven, and he came down here and suffered and bled and died for our wicked soul, brother. He loves us, but he will put us in the fire so that he can deliver us out of that fire so that we can give glory to him. That's the Bible. I told you this story. I know I told you this story. Some of you might be new, but it fits this illustration. My first term, I went into, we had a little Baptist church, had 10 or 15 people in that church, and there's a Catholic village, 200-something members in that village, and I had me a little Honda generator and a little 8-millimeter projector, and I got a hold of the life of Christ, and it gives the life of Christ, the invitation, the crucifixion and all, and I'm going to show it in the movie over there in that Catholic village. Well, I mean, the Catholic church charges 50 cents a piece to see a movie, and so we put a white sheet on the outside of the church house, you know, and said, man, it's free. Come on out. It ain't a whole lot to do in the bush of New Guinea at nighttime, you know, so everybody come out. Well, that Catholic pastor didn't want his people looking at that movie because it gives an invitation. They get saved. The offerings would go down. The church attendance would go down. The priest would come and replace him to do get somebody in there that could do a better job than he could. And so he took that blunt side of that axe and he beat my generator and he broke my generator. I'd been over there 6 or 8 months, a brand new missionary, you know. And I said, hey, what are you doing? That's my generator. I mean, yeah, that's my generator. And he took that axe, the sharp side of that axe, and he swung it right at my head. He tried to take my head off. And he swung that thing like that, and that blade, I went like this. The only thing I could do, you know, I went like this, and that blade went like that. And he looked at me, and his eyes were red as fire. He said, white man, if you ever come back into this village, I'll plant this in the back of your neck. And he meant it. And my Bible students jumped in front of me, and his people jumped in front. They got into a gang fight where they were cutting one another with axes and bush knives. They were taking rocks and rimming them and breaking teeth and bloodying noses. They tore down the pastor's house. And I'm telling you, it was a gang fight. And my Bible student said, Dick, this has gotten nasty. Run for your life. And they ran off and left me. And I run up through this house line, all the way up to the house line. The church is on the other side of the house line. We run all the way through that house line. And they come here, and you go down into a valley, and 2 hours that away is the mission station. And so it's nighttime now. It's dark nighttime. And I can't see at night. I can't see during the day. But I can't see at night. But I drop my generator, and I run out through that house line. And I get up here to the edge of that house line, and I turn back and look. And here they come. I'm the fool that brought the film in. I'm the instigator of this fight. They will chop you up into body pieces. They'll chop your body into parts and put them in a stock feed bag and throw them down an outhouse or throw them in the river, and nobody knows the difference. The police won't even come back there because the roads are so muddy. They won't even come back, so there's no deterrent of crime. It's the survival of the fittest. Whoever can win, he's in charge. And here they come. And so I'm telling you, I honestly believed in my heart I'm going to get martyred. And I told God, I started running, and I cannot run these guys, man. They can see in the dark. I can't. It's 2 hours. They're going to catch me before I get to the bottom of this hill. And I said, God, get Cindy and the girls out of here. Please, I'll see you in a few minutes. Honest, what can I do? And so I just stood there, and I couldn't see them, but I could hear them coming. And they're coming up that house line. They come. And they never came. They got right up to the edge of that little lip. And I mean, I'm 20 yards from them to get killed, chopped up. And they'd already worked themselves in a frenzy. There's no reason in the world for them to stop. But they stopped and went back down the house line. And the Bible, the Word of God says, the angel of the Lord campeth about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. Brother, that wasn't just for the King David. That's right. That was been tried and proven in this boy's life in 19. 19- 1990. I get back, I walk. Now here's the illustration. He delivers us out of trouble for His name's sake. Brother, for 2 hours I walked home in the dark by myself. Brand new missionary. And honest, brother, this is what I'm doing. My God, Amen. What a Savior.
Amen.
What a Savior. God saved me. I was going to get chopped up and thrown in the river, and God Almighty saved me. And for 2 hours, I walk back, and I go back to Ted. And he's the veteran missionary, and I tell him what happened. And he said, Sunday, you and I got to go back. Now, this is Friday night. This is what I said. You and your mama. I was there. I know what. I looked in that fool's eyes. He was full of the devil. I said, I ain't going back. And he said, pack your bags and leave New Guinea. Because when every village finds out what they did, they ran you out of that village, every village back here is going to run you out. And you never start a church. You'll never win a soul. You're history. So just pack your bags and leave. All day Saturday, I'm bribing God. Now, God, you call me. I'm your man. I mean, anything that'll work, you know. And Sunday morning, we kiss my wife and children goodbye. And honestly, before God, I'm telling you the truth. I meant goodbye. I mean, lucky the first time. I mean, go back into that lion's mouth again, you've got to be a fool. And I'm telling you, we left our family. We hugged and kissed our family. And for 2 hours, we walked back to that village. And we're praying like we never prayed before. And we got down to that little hill, and we got down there in that old mud, and man, we're crying out to God, oh God, please, Lord, now God. And we walked in that house line. They hated us. They hated our guts. Their houses here and houses there, and the path runs right down. And they're all sitting in the house, man, and just watching us, hating us, and cut him, kill him, break his glasses, get him out of here. But nobody came out of that house. And we walked down through the middle of that like a pussycat between a line of German shepherds. And we went into that little church on the end of that house line. And we quivered a couple of songs. And we sang and we preached a little sermon there. And we walked back down through that house line. And that's been 16 years ago. And that church is still going on in that house line for the glory of God. Now, it wasn't me, brother. I was defenseless. How am I going to fight 200 warriors? How am I going to do that? I was dead meat, and God Almighty delivered me out of trouble. My daughter was held hostage in an armed robbery, and those fellows didn't rape her or put a hand on her. My daughter pegged the thermometer with malaria. I mean, we've had shotguns in our face on the road where rascals would block the road and say money or life and put a 12 gauge in our face and my wife's face. We've looked down a barrel of a 12 gauge. Brother, every time God has delivered us, and you think this idiot's going to say, man, did you see me wheel around there? You see me how I got out of that situation? You know, it wasn't me, it was God Almighty. I'm telling you, I was flat on my back. And I tell this story 16 years ago, and I'm not puffing my name up. I'm saying, God Almighty delivered me out of that situation. God Almighty saved me physically. God kept those warriors from cutting me up. God Almighty. That's why He puts us in the fire. He'll put you in that fire to deliver you so that for His name's sake, so you can get up here in church and testify and say, look what my God did to me and my family.
Amen.
That's why He does it. That's why. Brother, all problems is not because of sin. You can be right with God and still go through that river and through that fire, brother. And He's got a purpose. He's got a purpose whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. Do all to the glory of God. Psalm 94, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Psalm 142, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Oh, I remember the leeks and the melons and the garlic. Let's mark a captain and go back. Oh, God, I'm not satisfied where you put me. I have to drive 45 minutes to get to church. That preacher preaches too long. Lord God, I'm not satisfied. Man of bread, man of biscuit, man of muffins. Man, I'm sick of this manna. I'm sick of the way you're providing for me. I'm sick of the way you're leading me. God, I'm not satisfied. You got to get beyond all that junk. You got to get beyond all that junk and serve God, seek, swim, live or die, God. I'm going to do it for your name's sake.
Amen.
I'm just going to get in this thing and be the man.
That's right.
Ephesians chapter 5. I'll read one verse in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul says to the Corinthian church, For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that the church should be holy and without blemish. Let me tell you something. Sometimes Brother Gary gets up here and preaches on you and steps on your toes and preaches on your little pet sin at home or whatever, you know, in your family, or starts talking to you about your money or something or your children or something. And man, y'all get blow up like an old blowfish and woo, and you just leave the church and go down to some old watered down worldly contemporary church that never had God in the first place. And you'll sit there and wander and dry up like an old dried prune, brother. When he starts preaching on you and preaching hard on your sin, you ought to hug his neck. Amen. You ought to hug his neck. Say, thank God I got a preacher that'll tan my hide. This man, I believe, I know him well enough. He does not go home on Sunday afternoon and looks at his wife and say, man, I filleted them alive. Man, I hung him out to dry. Man, I skinned him alive. He's not like that. He don't go home and carve a notch on his gun handle, man. He loves you. This is what's going to happen. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what we've done in this body since you've been saved up to the rapture of death. And one day, brother, it's going to be judgment time. And the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne. He's going to say, Gary Pate, stand up. And it's your time in court. And he'll say, Solid Rock Baptist Church, stand up. And y'all are going to stand up. And I hope by the grace of God that your pastor will turn around and present this church, like Paul did the Corinthian church. Yes. He'll present this church back to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord God, this is what you did in Blackstone, Rhode Island. Amen. And I hope to God this church is holy and without spot, without blemish, that we can give praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Lord God, this is what you did. Now, what if this church is so full of the devil and got envy and jealousies and gossip and backbiting and just the flesh, and Gary presents this church at the judgment seat of Christ back to the Lord and say, Lord, this is the best that you could do in Blackstone. Do you think that's going to honor God? And the devil saying, I told you they'll quit on you. That'll bring shame to our Lord. So that's why the preacher preaches. Brother, I'm serious as a heart attack. There ain't a whole lot of preachers that'll just get in your face and say, brother, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, monkey. You ought to hug him. You ought to thank God. You ought to get on your knees and say, thank God for my pastor and his wife. I'm telling you, brother. And he's doing that for God's name's sake. He's doing it so when he presents you back to God at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to say, Lord, look what you did down there in Blackstone. This church is holy, without spot, it's a chaste virgin to Christ, that you, Lord Jesus Christ, you can marry this woman, a chaste virgin, just like Jessica was holy coming down that aisle. This church, black, solid rock, can walk the aisle one day and look at her husband and hold her hands for the first time. Amen. What kind of wedding dress are you going to be dressed in? Last one, 3 John 7. 3 John 7, last one. You say, thank God, I bet the ice cream's melted. We'll drink milkshake. This is the last one. 5-10 minutes, I'm done. 3 John 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Revelation 2:3 says, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and not fainted. Brother, there's going to be times where you're going to hide in a mountain cave like Elijah. There's going to be times you're going to run away like Jonah and hide in the bottom of a boat. There's going to be times when there's going to be an earthquake, a fire, a wind, and you're not going to hear the voice of God. Your prayers are going to go up and bounce off the ceiling. And God, where in the world are you? Ecclesiastes says there's going to be times where you're going to be taken in an evil net. There's going to be times where you're caught in a snare. You're snared in an evil time when it falleth upon them suddenly. What are you going to do when the trouble hits? Jeremiah says if you're having trouble keeping up with the footman, what are you going to do when the cavalry charges? Brother, let me encourage you tonight. Not quit. Don't bail out. Don't throw in the towel. Brother, it is so close to quitting time.
Amen.
Man,
amen.
Good night. I believe with all my heart we're going up before I die an old man. Now, I'm getting there, but I'm telling you, brother, I believe we are living in the generation of the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't quit. Don't bail out, man. I'm telling you, we all got trouble. I married a young family over there in Dayton. I led them to the Lord. I married that man and woman. I saved their children. And just last month, they called me and said their 30-year-old son went out in the garage and hung himself. I've got 5 ladies on my prayer list that I pray for almost every day, and they've got lost husbands. I mean, just trying to be faithful, coming to church, and that wicked snake at home, lost, that cares nothing about God, and that woman's trying to be faithful. I got this woman in Ohio, Ruth Link, and she said, "Brother, would you pray? I'm just tossing and turning at night. I'm just consumed. And my son, he's getting out there in drugs and rock and roll and running with that wrong crowd. And that mama's laying in bed tonight not knowing where her son is." I'm telling you, churches are in a mess all over. It's every church I go into. People got trouble. A pastor, his daughter-in-law up in Buffalo, they just found out his daughter-in-law got leukemia. A pastor up there in Buffalo, he's overweight, got diabetes. I mean, just hell by the acre. I'll give you a little bit of what happened this last term, and I'm done. For 2.5 years this last term, we had hell by the acre. I'm telling you, we had a man in our church. I mean, these are our people. Our trouble this term was not from the devil or from the outside. It was from within, inside the church. Our people, Christians, gave us hell. And this man that he had a health problem. I bought his hospitalization a number of times. I bought his medicine, his trips back and forth to the hospital. He lived next to us, and many times we would have leftovers and go up to his family and say, you know, God bless you. I'd give him $10 to climb a tree and cut a branch down, just being a blessing to him. And this man, what he wanted to do was split the church so he could tear the church building down and use the building materials to build himself a house. He had no concept of the holy work of God, the Spirit of God, and all he wanted to do is rip the church apart so he could use all the timber and the aluminum siding and the roof and all. And so for 4 Sundays, you know, he would come to church, and 10 minutes before Sunday school, he'd start a big talk fight and just kill the Spirit. And after the 4th time I got up in church, I said, "Listen, if y'all have a problem, you come to my house on Monday morning, and we'll sit on the veranda and talk quietly." 1 Samuel said, "Tell it not in Gath, lest the daughters of Philistines rejoice." Yes. We're not supposed to tell these lost folks we got problems. We're supposed to say, "Hey, my God is better than your God." We're supposed to be bringing these lost folks in. But this guy just up there trying to get into a fight. He did that the 5th time, the 6th time, and the church voted him out as yeast, as leaven. And that's the first time in 16 years we voted a church member out of a congregation. He just had no desire to do right. And he picked up his tree limb and swung it at me and was right in my face spraying spit like a DI would, you know. And honestly, before God, I had to put my hands in my back pocket. I mean, "God, I know you're a gentleman and God, but I'm not. Please, God, let me kick this man. Please, God, just one time let me hit him." I prayed to let God let me hit this man. But couldn't you see the headlines? Baptist missionary duking it out with the Baptist church member. Oh, for the glory of God, of course. You know, what a testimony that would have been. And I had to turn my back and go inside. He would come up to my house and just yell and holler and rant and rave. They reported me to the fraud squad in the police department. They said they got a private investigator after me and said that I stole a little crippled bush woman's money. I need that woman's money. Yeah, we ain't steal that woman. But they were trying to get me kicked out because as long as I was there, he couldn't tear the building down, you know. So they were trying to get my visa revoked and get me in jail and all. And I'm telling you, just hell by the acre, man. This went on all the time. I mean, 3 or 4 times a week, he's out there yelling and hollering and screaming. And we're telling the world, all these churches out there, we're the new creatures in Christ. You need to be born again. You need to be God changed. I mean, good. Glory to God. Just wicked as hell. And this went on all the time. During this time, I get an email from the States, sending our 55, and so I'm trying to save all I can for when we can't do it. Cindy got a bad back. She can't travel anymore. She's just a homebody over in New Guinea. It's like living in a prison. She don't go to any walks. She just stays at home for 4 years over there. And so I don't know how much longer we got over there. I got bad knees. Yesterday, Richard Mosher and we went out and passed out some flyers for Vacation Bible School. My leg hurts right now because they cut the cartilage out and it's bone against bone, you know. And so I don't know how many more years we got over there. And so what I've been doing for the last 8, 10, 15 years, I've been socking away all we can into a nest egg. But so I want to take care of my family. Amen. Cindy's not able to stand on her feet 8 hours a day at Walmart, you know, to try to buy groceries, you know. So I'm trying to provide for my own. Well, during this time, we got all this hell going on. I get an email from the States and saying, Tommy Haynes, he's a Christian that we had invested all of our life savings into his real estate company, and they buy and sell real estate, giving me 8.5% annual percent interest, you know, pretty good rate, you know. And I thought that was pretty good. I get an email from him during this time and said, Tommy Haynes embezzled all your money. He stole it. It's gone. What a blessing. That took 6 months to get over that. 6 months, I cried, I lay in bed, and the devil said, what are you going to do, you hypocrite? You're worse than an infidel. What are you going to do? How are you going to provide for that woman in there? And I'd go outside at night, and I would lay down out there in the yard, looking up at those stars, and say, God, I can't take it no more. God, please. During this same time, I got an infection, and an area of my body swelled up about the size of a baseball. And I'm 55. I'm thinking prostate cancer. And by then, I had enough. I done had it. And so I told Cindy, I said, no chemo, no radiation. This is your free ticket out of here, girl. I said, you get to go back to Tennessee and live with Joanne and Andy and just sit there in the church and be the custodian, clean the church. I said, no medicine, no treatments. I'm just going to die. And you dig a hole and plant me here in New Guinea, and I'm going home. I'm sick and tired of this stinking world. I hate it. I want to go. It's just a cop-out. I try to go home. During this same time, they got what's called a head pay over there, where in one time in a generation, the oldest son has to throw a party for mom and dad and to say, I appreciate you raising us kids. And so they brought in 78 cases of beer into this village. The problem is 3/4 of our church members live in that village. And it's just too much of a temptation, you know, free beer. And so they start this disco music, this rock and roll. And I had already gotten a court order restraining them for bringing in that rock and roll. I had a court order restraining order saying, we don't want that kind of music back here. And so boom, 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 boom. It starts up about 6, 7 o'clock. And the rattle of windows all night long. At 5 o'clock, when I can see the trail, I walk up to that village to tell them, you can't play that music up here. And 3/4 of my church members are up there falling down, staggering drunk. One of my Bible students goes out preaching in the market, preached in the pulpit, stands up, says, I ain't going to lie to you, Brother Dick, I'm drunk. I said, you're done with Bible school. No, I'll be back next Saturday. I said, you're done, cowboy. I said, you are done. And I'm telling you, I walk back to the house. Now, all this stuff been going on every single day for a couple of years. And I go back to the house and I tell Cindy, and these are our people. We led to the Lord. My children, we led to the Lord, discipled and provided for them, gave them medicine and food. I mean, just poured our heart and soul out in these people. And they just no regard at all for the Lord, no thought for glorifying God for His name's sake. Just go out and get drunk, and we're the 2 Corinthians 5:17 bunch back there. And that just, I mean, you talk about bending that stick, it bent, and it snapped. And I said, that's it, I'm done. And we started taking things off of our wall and packing our suitcases, sis, I'm telling you. I'm being honest with you tonight. This ain't a whiny baby story. I'm telling you, honest before God. And I wrote last year in May and June, I wrote a prayer letter to your churches. And I sent it to my pastor before I sent it out. And I said, what do you think before I send it to my supporting churches? And that prayer letter said, I appreciate the years you supported the Harrelsons, but I can't take it no more. I'm quitting, coming home. I quit. I told him, God, with my lips, I quit. I can't. I'm sorry. Now, before you start thinking evil of me, you look at Elijah. You look at Jonah. I mean, them fellows, God, kill me. I can't take it no more. I'm telling you, you will go through that water. And you will go through the fire. And sometimes you will snap. Well, I'm telling you, I snapped. And I'm telling you, God, brother, I'm telling you, sis, it's the grace of God that I'm standing here today. Because I quit in my heart. I quit. And with my mouth, I told God I quit. And my pastor got that letter, and he said, don't send that letter out. Get out of there today. Go to town today and buy a ticket and come home. You need out of there. You need a break. I said, I can't come home. If I leave, that jerk will tear down this church building and split this church. And 6 years of hard work will down the tube. I said, I can't quit. This guy's waiting for me to quit. And for May, June, July, August, September, it was just hell by the acre. I'm telling you, tossing and turning, crying, laying out there in the grass. I'm talking, actually packing our bags. And we would get up in the morning with our bags half packed and saying, this is the day, Lord. We're climbing into the car. We're going home. And we would late lunchtime, we'd make it to lunchtime, and then we'd make it to supper time. And we'd go to bed, and we'd get up, and we'd make it to lunchtime. And it was a day-to-day struggle just to stay above that water. And I'm telling you, brother, it was hard. It was so hard to live back there for the next 6 months. In June, July, August, September, October, November, we just went through there. And that church went through that junk with us. Those 18 brothers and sisters went through that church with us. And I'm telling you, we come out on the other side. And tonight, I believe, honest before God, I'm not trying to puff myself up, but I believe honestly before God, I'm a better Christian than I was last year. Yeah. All this glitter, all this stuff out here, it just sort of got dim, and it's sort of way, way out there, and it just don't mean diddly squat to me no more. Amen. I'm honest. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I lost an attraction to the things of this world, and God took me through that, brother. I'm telling you, He broke me, and maybe that's what we need.
Yeah.
A lot of people in America have never been broken.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's the best thing for you.
Amen.
That church went through that fire. And it was no picnic, brother. I'm telling you, it was hard, man. It was so hard. And they went through that fire, and they come out the other side, and they're over there tonight supporting the first missionary on their own. I'm here in the station. They decided to do that on their own. And they're doing over there serving God on their own. And I get this letter from Jacob, and he told me, he said, the snakes are gone.
Amen. Amen.
One of them, they both left. They both left, and they started a new church back there, Assembly of God for the World, whatever that is. It's some kind of Assembly of God church. You know, it's tongues and that kind of stuff. But he's the pastor, and the snake is the deacon. And I wrote Jacob back and said, pray for him. Pray that they'll have 10 or 12 people come to their church, because as long as they have a following, they won't come back to our church. If their church fizzles, they won't have nothing to do, and they come back and give us hell. So I said, pray that they have a few fools that'll follow them, and they'll have somebody to preach to and sing to. And all. As long as they got a church going, we're free of the snakes. Amen. That church over there went through that fire, and brother, we were flat on our back. I'm telling you, I was flat on my back outside crying, asking, begging God to kill me. Please, God, take me home. I can't take it no more. And so we come out on the other side, and you think I'm going to stand up here tonight and say, man, you ought to see what I did last term. Brother, I was flat on my back, and God brought that through. He delivers us out of problems for His name's sake. And that verse, 3 John 7, says, they went forth for His name's sake. I think it was William Carey said, I can plod. And brother, I got a message on Christianity is just mountains and valleys. We like it up here on the mountains, but what's on the other side of that mountain? You got to go down into another wicked valley. But God says, yea, though I walk through the valley, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. God will go through that fire. He'll go through that river with you, brother. And you know, when the storms and the lightning and the thundering's going on, you know, and it's black as sin, you know. But brother, on the top of that cloud is the sunshine. And if you just keep on, brother, don't quit and don't bow out and don't throw in the towel. If you just hang on, brother, just hang on, that cloud will eventually part and that sun will come back out. There will be a tomorrow. Amen. So don't quit on God. Don't quit the church. There ain't that many churches that are preaching and trying to do right, brother. It's so easy. You can swell up. You can go down. There's so many contemporary churches and just praise Jesus churches. You can just fit in real good and comfortable, and nobody will preach to you, and nobody will pick on you, and you can just serve God. Amen? But I'm telling you, there ain't a whole lot of churches like that. Don't leave the church. Don't leave your pastor. Don't leave the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That old wicked priest said, I told you the Baptist wouldn't make it back here. Hold that in your head when you go home tonight. Next week when you say, oh, it's too far. I went Sunday. Why do I got to go back? Just think about the devil up there saying, he'll deny you. He'll quit on you. He doesn't love you. He loves that world. He loves the things. He hates your guts. He'll shame you in a heartbeat. Just hold that in your mind this next week when you go back out there in that wicked world. Amen. I'm telling you, honest for God, I am not a good missionary. This guy, he puffs me up too much. The only way I walk on water, brother, you want to see me walk on water?
He did it. He did it.
I'm nothing. I am nothing. I am a wicked snake that deserves to be in hell with his back broke. And it's just the grace of Almighty God that I'm standing in here. I was so close to quitting on God. I know if I came home, I'd have never gone back. And by the grace of God, that's all it is grace and mercy. By the grace of God, my wife, Cindy, and I, we're getting on the plane in November and going back for the fifth time.
Amen, brother. Yes.
It ain't me. Don't you puff me up. Don't you think, oh, brother Dick. It ain't brother Dick. It's my Lord.